You're listening to a Countout Podcast. What it is, what's up, and welcome everybody to the Itchy Barn Sweetcast. It's the sweetest time of year. We're just on the other side of Wrestle Kingdom. Wrestle Kingdom, Wrestle Dynasty, and New Year's Dash have all played out over the last 3 days, and me and my good friend are about to run it down. So why don't you tell the people who we are? I'm actually organizing you today because we normally forget to do this until the end of the show. But I feel like it's the start of the year, new year, new us. Let's like tell people who we are at the start of the show and stuff this time.
New year, same us.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a thing because I got shit to say. No, but yes, let's go ahead and tell everyone who we are. We are the International Wrestling Grand Pricks. That right there. That's your bad friend Ray Fuse, and I'm a good friend Curtis Spears, and we are the Itchy Bon Sweet Cast, the sweetest cast that ever casted and potted and podcasted. How you doing today?
That sounds like us. I'm doing well, and I'm sure everybody's doing well. We've just had, man, a lot has happened in so many days, in like 3 days. Some great wrestling, some not so great, I guess. Some weird sort of fallout, some amazing fallout. So we just got to start breaking it down. And I think
it's been such a day, like bad news, and I was in a bad mood. And then you sent me good news, and now I'm in a good mood. Oh, man.
It's gone both ways. But I think probably the first place to start, just before we even start attacking news items and things like that, I think we just have to give like our overall sort of feeling after everything. You know what I mean? Like after watching news items aside, this is, you know, any bad taste from weird things like that. Like how did you feel about the shows after that were all said and done?
So I think Wrestle Kingdom was a fantastic show. Mm-hmm. Wrestle Dynasty was a very good show. New Year's Dash was a ton of fun, and it's got me excited. Like, there wasn't a lot. It wasn't one of those big surprises everywhere shows.
Yeah, it wasn't a Mystery Vortex show, which surprised me that they announced it. It sounded like it surprised Walker Stewart as well, because he was like, oh, guess we're telling everybody what's going on, you know what I mean? But I think for the way that show was booked, it wouldn't have really made sense because it would have left people disappointed. Like if you, not that it was a bad show, but if that was a Vortex show and all it was tags and there was, you know, nothing special and Omega didn't walk out and those things, people would have been like, what's going on? Where there's a kind of things that they've, you know, done in the past. By announcing it all, you knew at the start, okay, I'm just settling in for like a good New Japan show.
Yeah, it was just a house show, but it was a house show that had a lot of, I think, significant beats for what you can look for in the future. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Let's go ahead and start with Wrestle Kingdom. Okay.
Yeah.
So the big stuff coming out of Wrestle Kingdom, Zack Sabre Jr., the first Western wrestler to go into the dome as the champion and walk out of the dome as champion.
Absolutely.
That's something that he can hang his hat on. He has done something that no other Western wrestler has done in the history of New Japan. Way to go.
I like that New Japan do that with their guys as well. And by that, I mean give them something individual to hang their hat on. You know what I mean? Everybody's sort of got their top guys will always have sort of a a little thing that sets them apart from other people.
Yeah.
And I mean, for Zach, he was already kind of like the most tournament winning wrestler they had. Then he finally manages to win G1, and then he calls his shot early and then walks into the dome and walks out. And I think that's pretty awesome.
It is. You get like Tanahashi's got like the most IWGP, you know, titles, and Okada had the longest reign. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's got something. Will was the first British champion for a world heavyweight champion and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like everybody's got something. And this is a good thing for Zach to have. He's the only dude who's been able to, through like his own grit and determination, force his way into and out of the dome as champion twice.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the hop,
which is awesome. And if we look at his matches in a vacuum, because I do think he had like a pretty massive sort of role to play both nights. And some people could argue like, why would you put that match later? And we'll talk more about sort of dynasties as we go through it. The champion closes. And so he's just got to do that. And that's a tough thing to do, but
it was a good match to close.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, you can't say he didn't absolutely give his all. So if we look at that, just talking about the title match on Wrestle Kingdom, what do you think of Shooter after that's all said and done?
I made a joke about Shooter abandoning his Tanahashi cosplay and picking up the Murder Ibushi cosplay. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like he was doing his Murder Ibu fucking rounds there, and it worked for me. Mm-hmm. I was in. Mm-hmm. when he would just blank out and Zach would hit him and he just fucking stare at him dead-eyed like, mm-hmm, do what you got to do because I'm about to get mine. I was in. Mm-hmm. I was enraptured for 43 minutes. It did not feel like 43 minutes to me.
Yeah. It was it was a great title match, and I think it, you know, both guys deserve a huge congratulations because they were kind of walking in where people are like, this is the guy that, you know, this is the main event sort of thing. And I think Shooter really put his working boots on. You know, do I think his gimmick hits for me? Do I think those big road bikes he drives are cool? No.
Oh, man, those fucking Jay Leno ass fucking bikes.
Yeah.
That is so shitty. Who was it, you that said something that looks like something a nun would fucking drive?
I don't think that was me, but it's not incorrect.
Oh man.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody said it looks like something a nun would take to Sturgis or something like that.
Yeah.
And I fucking died, dude.
It's not cool at all, but hey, we're figuring it out, you know. And we did see as well, we didn't see like a full heel turn or anything like that, but we did definitely see, like you say, a bit more of a murder side. We saw way more aggression. We saw him push the referee, who is his father, over like in anger.
I get it, man. I get it. I want to fight my dad too.
Yeah, well, I mean,
like, I feel like I understand that. Yeah,
I mean, there's been times in my life, sure, not now, but even I liked as well when like he pushes him over and everyone's like, what the fuck? And then he's like kicking the shit out of him. And then Red Shoes just grabbed his arm and he's like, come on or whatever. And he's like not looking, and Shooter's like arguing with him, but he's still just kicking like through the rope.
Just,
like,
just stomping him.
And I did, when I see those sort of like parts of his personality, that real, I guess, cunty part of his personality, I do like it. And I think he has he definitely has the gear to become quite a fucking, yeah, brutal person. So yeah, we'll just have to see where it goes.
I would love for him to touch that darkness a little bit more often.
Yeah.
So far we've seen it twice, once against Will, once against Zach. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't take some of the best wrestlers in the world to bring it out of him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I compared it to the Murder Ibushi. Murder Ibushi didn't come out every fucking match either, did he?
Well, that's true. And I would argue that, like, I mean, that was still, you talk about like rising to the level of somebody you're in the ring with. You're still rising to the level of Zack Sabre Jr., which is not a low level to rise to. You know, that's a very high level. And
you shouldn't play down to your fucking competition either.
No,
man.
No, you shouldn't. But I would still say that that match was very good. And you could argue that it's maybe some wrestlers would go their entire career and never hit a match that good, you know?
Yeah.
So there's something to say. Has he found it yet? Is he the whole package? No. Has he proved that he has the potential to be? I think so.
Do you think that that match went 43 minutes to make up for the unfortunate junior heavyweight stoppage? Because that the junior heavyweight match stopped like, what, 8 minutes in?
I was actually thinking Tsuji and Finlay may have gone a little bit longer because of that.
Hmm.
Which I'll talk about that match when we sort of get to it. We'll just kind of run this down with vague thoughts.
Yeah, know, I was thinking, we don't need to go through every match. We can just go hit the high points, the stories that we were really into.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of Naito and Hiromu? Hiromu's look was one of the best.
Hiromu coming out looking like a Funko Pop.
I absolutely loved it because I was like, the last couple, he's sort of that tentacly type look he's done that like a few times now. And I was like, I'd love to see him do something wilder. And I was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah. So. He's got, I love that he's got like a big giant head.
Yeah.
And his like, his face sticks out the mouth.
I like how, yeah, he pulls off the mouth and his little face is in there smiling. I think it's funny and different and I like it. What did you think of the match? Yeah. I thought the match was really fun. Ooh, I was surprised that Hiromu didn't win though. So, I mean, I guess Naito's hanging around, like, you know.
I don't know, man. The match was aggressively fine.
Mm.
It was exactly what I thought it was going to be. I think
it would have been a little bit more emotional. Yeah, I thought it would have got a little bit more emotional. Yeah. We were hoping for tears in the dome with these guys, and I don't think we hit that at all. I did think they sort of hit that beat a little bit, you know, afterwards, but you know, when they're laying on the ground or whatever. But, yeah, I don't think it really quite got there.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't hit that emotional high for me.
Yeah.
I liked the match. It was fine. Mm-hmm. But that's all I can give it, man.
Yeah.
No. I think Hiromu not being as wild as he once was because he has, you know, taken quite a bit of beating over the years.
Mm-hmm.
That bit of him, he still tried his hardest to like carry Naito through like a fun, like wild match. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that he had the juice. Naito, man, like, I don't want to be on the Naito's cook train, but like, it's looking pretty fucking rough, man.
He's slowing
you'd
down.
If this was storyline, because everyone's always like, oh, it could be storyline. Like, we've said it before here. Like, this could 100% just be Naito fucking with us, mm-hmm. you know, for fun, for lols.
Mm-hmm.
But the dome against Hiromu would be the time where he would break it out, right?
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Maybe there's nothing there to break out. I guess we'll see. What did you then think about them? I did sort of enjoy them then reforming the tag team and becoming part of the next night's event. I did like that.
Yeah. I dig the idea of Hiromu. Like, it seems like they've got a lot of people that are aggressively like getting into that, like middle space. I think maybe the open weight stuff is going to become a big feature. You know, like at, I think it was at Dash when Driller Maloney was like, heavyweight. You know, he was speaking Japanese. And of course, there was nobody on the fucking comms that can translate Japanese because Chris Charlton wasn't there.
Mm.
Anyway, we'll talk about that soon.
From what I understand, he essentially declared himself a heavyweight in that moment.
Yeah.
And
yeah. So, like, yeah.
But then when you look at
the NewJapan1972.com would fucking ever update, then maybe we could find out.
We know like any kind of, yeah, information. But I think, from what I understand, I think he has essentially, I mean, we'll talk about this more when we get to the Dash thing, but I think Driller has declared himself heavyweight, and I was very excited about that possibility. I'd love to know 100%, but but yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, he's fucking bigger than 90% of the roster. So I think that works logically. And I love that it's Shingo that he's declaring himself against, because Shingo was also once a junior who stepped up into that, you know, space.
That match is going to fucking tear it down.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. My God, I'm excited for that one.
You can't have a dude as big as Driller winning the concorso looking like an absolute weapon and then not take advantage of it. And he can talk and he looks cool as fuck. Like, did you see the press conference with – I mean, I guess we're just doing a Driller section right now in the middle of Wrestle Kingdom, but he's there and he's ready. So, like, fucking use him. Absolutely.
This is we're just gonna hit the stuff we're excited to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. It'll just kick along and go from there. But yeah. I, for one, are you excited about that? I mean, it means the end. Well, probably means the end of the junior War Dogs tag team. But we saw Sonata and Clark Connors team together, so maybe they're going to do like a bit of an open weight War Dogs thing, or maybe they'll bring in somebody else or whatever for Clark, or maybe Clark just starts to do, you know, singles stuff in the juniors, you know?
Clark could do single stuff in the juniors. Clark could team with Ishimori, you know, eventually down the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a thing that could happen. Yep. There's a couple of things that we could do here.
Absolutely. So, we'll see where it goes. Either way, he'll be totally fine. He's talent as fuck as well, so.
I'm hype as fuck for Maloney, man. Like, yeah. I mean, when he first started in New Japan, I remember specifically there were a couple of podcasts who were kind of like, who is this fucking jackoff? Mm. And then he broke out with War Dogs, and it's been fucking just to the goddamn moon since then.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I hitched my wagon to that rocket like way early.
Absolutely. And it's crazy when you think like he was the guy that was literally first released from NXT UK. He was their first release. Yeah. This guy can't cut it. And then, when you look at pictures, if you Google, like, Dan Maloney, NXT, UK or whatever, you will not recognize the man that you see in those photos. Like, he went, oh, yeah, that's right. Release first, hey, fucking watch this. And, like, just became one of the most beastly wrestlers, like, available today.
Dude, he's always been, like, a fucking muscle monster. Mm-hmm. But, like, now that he's got the body right, you know, he's got the look right.
He's got
like
the darkest tan, his Ermac spec tan.
Oh, fuck yeah, he does. he's a fucking burnt sienna.
Yeah,
like he's fucking feeling it, man. Yeah.
Unplayable character.
Earned it. He's fucking earned it.
Yeah, exactly. But we haven't unlocked him yet, so I think there's going to be great things in his future. Absolutely. And while we're on that Bullet Club train, I'm going to use that as an opportunity to segue back over to Yoda Tsuji and Finlay. And I don't know about you, I feel like that was finally the match that everybody needed to see to understand who the fuck David Finlay is. That was an absolute banger. Like, fucking loved that match.
That was really, really good, man.
It was it was main event spec New Japan is what it felt like.
It really did. Yeah. It felt like it was a coming out party for David Finlay. I mean, he's only been there for 10 years or whatever, but it was also a graduation of sorts for Tsuji.
Like, I honestly feel like when I look back at these matches, I feel like it might be my match of the night. Like, I really fucking loved it. And it was one of the matches you remember in our preview, that I was least excited for. But by the end of that, and I was watching it with my friends who, some of which have never watched New Japan before, others hadn't watched in a while. We were all drinking and hanging out. Maybe I just hit the peak of my Strong Zero intoxication at that point. But we were all going crazy because it started with nobody being that impressed, and Amy's never really liked Finlay and all these people. But by the end of it, everybody was on board. They're like, that guy's a fucking beast because he's just powerbombing the fight. When he was just dropping the dominators, like just hit Tsuji with two dominators. Just
dominated him.
I was looking at
times.
This dude, like Momo's boyfriend Levi was here, and he does not watch wrestling. And like, this was his first New Japan event. And he was like losing his fucking mind. He was like, how is he fucking doing this to this huge guy? Like, it was really fun. And so, I would really recommend people check it out.
Yeah, there's a reason he's the boss dog, man. Like,
And
he says, "Bring gold or bring bodies." He fucking means it.
Yeah, he unfortunately didn't bring the gold that night, but he definitely brought a body, whether Tsuji wants to admit it or not. And it's interesting. I was like, oh fuck, I'm really surprised they'd fucking drop it to Tsuji. Obviously, they're going to have, you know, some, you know, foreigners winning the Dome and stuff like that. So maybe they're going to, you know, share around the belts, make everybody, you know, it is New Japan after all. But then after seeing what played out at New Year's Dash, maybe it's more about laying breadcrumbs of dissatisfaction in War Dogs and things like that. Because, you know, fucking after Finlay fought Brody King, he was like, where's my fucking belt? I need to get my belt back and all that. But the person who's standing in the ring opposite Tsuji after New Year's Dash is Gabe Kidd. And he's supposed to be the right-hand man of Finlay, but he's eyeing off the belt that used to be his. So I wonder how that will play
cool
out.
How was it? These guys who we watched during, you know, clap crowds going out and doing 10-minute draws before G1 shows in 2020. And, you know, they're the kids who were stuck at the time. It was just Gabe and Yuya and Tsuji, because everybody else was gone at the time. And they were just like I said, 10-minute young lion draws. And now, like, they square off over the white belt and people went fucking shithouse.
Yeah, they lost it. Absolutely lost it.
That was so cool. Yeah,
that's just a testament to how over they are, and especially how over Gabe is, like, on the other side of it. And we're not even going to start that conversation yet, because we're going to need to get to the Kenny Gabe match. So we'll just keep quick run over Wrestle Kingdom and then we'll jump over there. It's worth, I think it's definitely worth talking about El Desperado and Doki, an absolute tragedy. When we talked about it with the Stiff Boys over on Stiffmas,
that was the match we were so hyped for.
We were so hyped for it. But we also even said, and I don't think it's not aired on the Stiffmas because I had to, you know, left on the cutting room floor when you go to 11-hour podcast. But we even said that it's a terrifying match in that you could absolutely just see somebody getting injured, because I know that how hard they'll go, you know, and because they want it so badly, that's usually when things just don't fucking go off, you know. And Doki's done that move 20,000 times, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Desperado's probably caught it that many. His arm just went in the wrong place. Dislocated his elbow. He could be up to six months.
You could see.
I know.
Like, you could see where his fucking, like, bones were out of joint.
Yeah.
Man, that was fuck. And Despy looked pissed.
He was so upset, because he knew, like, what they were going to do. And, I mean, there was probably there's no guarantee that Despy was really going to win. He's probably like, now I've got this fucking shit again. Like, you know what I mean? No, like, this wasn't the plan.
There's
like
absolutely no fucking guarantee that he was going to win, because Doki came out looking like a goddamn superstar.
How was his entrance? That I looked up that apparently the person that sort of danced him to the ring, that's like a very famous, like, Japanese kabuki actor, like, and singer and stuff. Like, it's a big deal that that person walked him to the ring. He looked god tier fucking final form. And yeah, just heartbreaking. The only positive I can take from it, and I've had conversations about this with wrestlers, is that sometimes injuries in wrestling can be the best thing that ever happened to a wrestler, because it's very sad and it's very fucking, you know, it's a lot to deal with and things are cut off, but crowds love what they can't have. And that sympathy bleeds into the character. And when he comes back in like 6 months, whatever it is, maybe sooner, people will be so ready, and it could lead to like the biggest push of his life. If he wasn't already on it, it's going to go even more. Because if you look at some of the great returns in wrestling, it always catapults people to the next level.
Yeah, I felt so bad. Like that was the match that we were most looking forward to, or at least that I was. Like, I was sitting there, like, with my, you know, tweeting out, like, before the match, while it was starting, I was like, there will be tears. I will be crying. I will be fucking in my feels watching this fucking match. I'm expecting something fantastic here. And I got something absolutely fucking horrible. Yeah. And I was just like, well, life is meaningless.
Yeah, well, so just bottle up all those feelings and imagine how you're going to feel in like 6 months to a year, or like maybe next year's Wrestle Kingdom when they do it again and it goes off. You know what I mean? And then it's going to feel like it was actually part of the storyline and they did it on purpose.
Like, Doki's going to climb the ropes to go for the Doki bomb to the outside.
He will absolutely do it. Like, nah, he will absolutely do it. You have no qualms in doing it. Just one of those things, man. But let's not sit here and worry about what has not been and just hope it can, you know, come off in the future. I think, I didn't really want to run down everything, but I do think we've got to talk about Takeshita and Takagi as well.
Ooh.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a huge long match, a very good match though. I thought this was going to be my match of the night and it was very, very good. But that's where I mean, like, it was like nearly 13 minutes and Yotsuji and Finlay ended up like 20 minutes, you know. So I wonder whether some time, because Doki and that only ended up being 5. Yeah, I wonder whether some time got shifted around there.
Yeah, there probably was going to be another 10 minutes of that Doki Desperado match.
Absolutely.
And then, I mean, it could have even been another 15 minutes. And that's why, added another 5 or 10 minutes to the Tsuji match, mm-hmm. probably added another 10 minutes to the main event just to like... Mm-hmm.
Well, because Tsuji and Finlay were straight after it as well, they would have been like, you've got some extra time, really fucking show it out. Like,
I felt so bad for that match. And like, because I was so bummed out and I was so like... upset about the stoppage. Like, I don't think that I gave that match a fair shake. Like, I watched it and I was like, that was pretty good, you know, but like, I don't think I fully recovered all the way up until the main event.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's completely fair. Tanahashi and Evil was fun. It was what it was. It was exactly kind of what you thought.
I could not help thinking that they were turning my boy Watto into an absolute fucking dork.
They made him look like
made him look like an absolute geek.
Yeah. They did him so real upset. Dirty in that match. Like, and I was like, how come fucking whenever it's like, this is for all the marbles versus House of Torture, like fucking Tanahashi just trots out the biggest band of losers as his lumberjacks. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you bring out Watto, but his company are like the old boys and stuff, like Tiger Mask and stuff. It makes him look like a fucking loser. You know what I mean? You've got to bring some more fire than that. So, you know, he kind of looks better, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, Hantai needs to be that established faction again. Mm-hmm. That's something I'm excited about. New Year's Dash establishing this, like, Chaos and Hantai are two separate things again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that makes me pretty happy. I like the idea of, and I'm sure that like ELP and Jado probably would have been there. You know, ELP is definitely not the loser. It would have been cool to see if he brought out
Bolton Oleg was it? Yana, where the fuck was Oleg?
Bolton Oleg, he was there.
Was he one of the boys?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fuck. All right.
But if they had brought out Watto, ELP, and Oleg,
it already feels pretty different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's just one person different.
Speaking of ELP TV match, I got to tell you, I have very important news for you regarding this match. And are you ready? It is. Yep.
And Amy 180.
That's right.
Amy 180.
In this match, an Amy 180 took place. And
she didn't do an Amy 360 and hate Phantasmo again, did she?
No. She's always been... No. There was actually two
Amy 180s.
In this match. She got all aboard one wrestler and all aboard another wrestler, and you could say she was released by one wrestler. And okay. So, first of all, Amy 180, finally, for the first time ever in our entire fandom of New Japan, all about Jeff Cobb now. Just started her own faction, Cobb Slobs, starring her and all of us. So we're all Cobb Slobs now, and we are very big fans of him in this match. He was an absolute beast in this match.
Dude, how about the Tope Cobb Hilo?
Yeah, that was nuts. That was he was so just great, like, dude. And it was a great example of what that type of wrestler does for fans that don't watch this shit all the fucking time. You know what I mean? Like, everybody in this house were going sick over him and his moveset and everything he was doing. And, I mean, he carried this entire match. They obviously love DLP too, and even, like, the finishing stretch and then ELP pulling out that win and stuff, everybody loved it. The disappointing part is Amy's no longer in love with the grip. She's now referring to him as the release because she's been released from his grip. The mullet wasn't hitting like it used to. The tan wasn't there. She's just not on board at the moment. So she was like, I remember this guy being way cooler. What the fuck happened? And I'm like, he is cool. And she's just like, what's the part in his hair? Why is he looking simply so pale? I don't understand what's going on. And so I had no defense for the grip. All I could say is, look, trust him. It's all going to work out, kind of thing. But
trust in the grip.
So there may be a future. There may be a future 180 back to the grip. But at the moment, the release.
Ouch.
Yeah, I know.
I've never heard of an Amy 180 going the other way.
Neither have I.
Wow.
Normally,
that's tough.
Normally, a 180 is for life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, she didn't have to 180 because, like, when he came out looking like the fucking grip, you guys were you were there at the beginning. You were at the front of the bus.
Yeah, he didn't look like the same level of grip.
Wow.
He did have a cool jacket on, but it was kind of all a bit too casual. Yeah, the tan wasn't on point. It just, yeah, it wasn't bad. She's off him. So anyway, that's the disappointing. Mayu Iwatani and Azumi. Yeah, was fun. I was at, because I had, oh yeah, you know this, but the listeners don't. Yeah. My house flooded before this happened. I had told the story that I was on a sweet spot or another episode that my sister-in-law's house had flooded, completely unrelated types of
sweet
flooding.
Spot, yeah.
But our air conditioning unit started leaking water through the roof. So I missed the start of this show. Like, because I was literally having like a plumber like suck 30 liters of water out of the ceiling of my fucking apartment. You know, it was a nightmare and it's still ongoing. But as a result, we started late. So I actually didn't get to see these first two, well, three matches, including the Rambo, until later because we started late. You know what I mean? So, but by the time I watched this one, which was the very last thing I watched, I was at peak drunkenness. And I don't really remember it. I may have even slept through parts of it because I drank
it was
a lot.
Really fucking good match. Like there were plenty of times.
I remember being good. I just can't recall any details.
During this and the Shingo Takeshita match, I was audibly like sitting there with on my couch with my fucking nachos because I had nachos and Pepsi first thing in the morning.
Delicious.
As my deliciousness of choice.
What do you, can I ask you a nacho recipe? What do you do for, if you're going to work?
Oh, I just had chips and dip. I didn't have actual nachos, but like Donna's been
melt
known
cheese
to sling
on
fucking. No, I had like a cheesy queso dip. Yeah.
Okay, that's good then. That's good.
With Cool Ranch Doritos.
Oh,
obviously.
Delicious. Delicious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah, we have to work harder for Cool Ranch here. You got to go to like some import store to get it.
You don't have Cool Ranch? Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out.
No, like you can it, but like our main store chains don't have it. Like you can get Cheese Supreme, Nacho Cheese, or like Original. And then if you want any of like wilder flavors, you've got to go to like a store that imports British or American foods.
Like Cool Original?
No, it's like a green packet that's just a salted corn chip.
Oh, that's garbage. That's hot garbage.
I mean, I like all corn chips, but yes, you're correct.
Yeah. No, it's good. Yeah. It's good. But I mean, it's not Cool Ranch Doritos, is it?
No, you got to work for it. Absolutely. That's part of being Australian. You can't have anything cool.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. So, I'm sitting there, I'm eating my nachos. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking my Pepsi. I've got the pugs snoring away on me. And I'm just audibly going, yo, oh, like, reacting. Holy shit. Because Mayu Iwatani was just fucking throwing hell bent for leather, dude.
Yeah,
she was fucking.
I have to rewatch it. And Azumi was obviously
hard
based. Absolutely. Yeah, I remember them coming out. Yeah, I remember them coming out. I remember the looks, but the details of the match I do not remember well. And then before that, was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Title Ladder Match. Now, this was real fun. This was car crash wrestling at its best. There's a small part of me that does wish that it wasn't a ladder match and it was just a regular match, because I honestly believe these teams would have had a better match that way. But hey, the right team won. I'm very happy about it.
The right team won. So you've got fucking the Bullet Club War Dogs come out like in pimp coats. They've got some ladies of the night with them.
Yeah, they are.
You know, hostesses wandering down with them. They look like absolute fucking megastars. Mm-hmm. Catch 2-2 comes out. They've got these fucking dystopian cyberpunk 2077 fucking
men. You mean those Timu masks that come up in my Facebook feed all the time?
Exactly.
I was like, can you get a custom mask, guys? Come on.
Yeah. They look like, it looks fine. It was fine. And then out comes fucking Kosei Fujita with just like a hoodie and a fucking bandana.
He looks like badass. Yeah.
There he is. Is he the coolest fucking dude in this match? Probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely. Him and Robbie.
He doesn't need a fucking
effortless. Yeah.
Doesn't need a fucking a crazy like fur coat.
Nah.
Doesn't need fucking anything. Comes out with a fucking hoodie. It's got his own name on it.
Yeah.
Badass.
That's it. And fucking, yeah. And then, you know, Jet Setters do their thing. But fucking it speaks to how much the company fucking sees in him the fact that like fucking he just essentially kind of wins the titles on his own, almost like the finishing sequence, you know, he just fucking wraps up Akira and just fucking wins the damn thing.
That was so fucking cool, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking putting him in that fucking stretch, like on top of the ladder, like throwback to fucking Jericho and Benoit back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like that was so fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
What a absolute killer fucking match. I was hype.
Yeah.
I was hype after that.
Fucking.
I was feeling it.
Robbie fucking, I think maybe I didn't like it just because like Robbie's a bud and seeing him fucking land on these ladders and shit, I was just too scared for him. Like I was just too worried about him to fucking, you know, fucking
hurt himself. You're a deathmatch guy.
Yeah,
you've got so many friends doing deathmatch and shit like that, going through light tubes.
Yeah,
light
but there's
tubes,
something
like a cabin made of light.
There's
tubes.
Something about ladders that just scares me way more. Like I can just, I mean, there's something, you know, when like you've hurt yourself on a thing before. I've fallen off ladders before. I've nipped myself in the little bits. You know, I've fucking conked a knee on him and shit like that. It just, I feel a ladder way more.
You've never been stuck on a gusset plate before is what you're saying.
Exactly. I can imagine that it would suck, but I haven't done it. Whereas a ladder is a very real thing in my life. I've fallen off one and only narrowly didn't fucking die. And like, so I know. And then I see these dudes fucking falling from extreme heights, or like when it's on the cross thing with the rope and Robbie fucking going through. I know, it just stressed me the fuck out. Like, it's too much.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess it's just like I have the utmost faith in like those dudes are all fucking 900% professional.
See, that's like, the thing though. I have faith in them. I don't have faith in the ladder because I can't fucking trust it because it's on a wobbly ring surface. It's not like steps give way, the bracing gives way, a leg gets bent and they still try and climb it anyway. There's nobody to foot it. Like, you know, there's just a lot of variables that they themselves can't control. And that stresses me out. Like fucking a lot.
Yeah. It is dangerous.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. It's super dangerous. And you know, light tubes and stuff can be too, obviously, but really for the most part, like in death matches, stuff like light tubes and gussets, it's like, it's just,
for show.
Like, it's real blood and stuff, but it's like, what's the fucking word I'm looking for? Like, superficial, damage. You know what I mean? It's not ligaments. It's not broken bones. It's not fucking anything like that. You know, they're getting scars and stuff. They are bleeding. But also the person who's, like, swinging the light tube kind of pulls it a bit. You know what I mean? So it's like a whip and it kind of breaks, but you don't get the full force. And gussets can only go so deep. And
Are you saying that professional wrestling isn't 100% on the level?
Let's move on to the next topic. And then quickly, IWGP World Heavyweight Title, number one contendership, New Japan Rambo match. This was super fun. I love to start a Wrestle Kingdom this way. My only criticism is that, and it's my own fault, I did not pick up that Tai Chi was disqualified or something in some way, or was eliminated, or he climbed over the ropes. I don't know what happened, but when he eliminated Sonata, I thought he was still in. So when the ending happened, I was like, Tai Chi's still legal. He's going to come from somewhere. But then it was like over and I was like, oh, I guess he's out. I missed it, you know? So I don't know how Tai Chi got eliminated in the end. And it says on Cage Match here, it's like Tai Chi was disqualified. So I don't know what happened. Maybe he just climbed over the top rope because he cared about bashing Sonata more than he cared about like winning.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was hyped for Goto though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was hyped to see Goto win it. And I like that Okan went from the start to the finish. The whole thing was his idea to do the number one contender thing, and he just fell short because Goto is the fucking man.
Like, it's so cool seeing that they're like pushing Okan to like greater heights now.
Well, they're clearly pushing Okan to the top of United Empire. They're clearly, I mean, they've said that Goto's the new leader of Chaos. Like, so, yeah.
And so Goto has a match booked against Zack Sabre Jr. Mm-hmm. For New Beginning. How fucking amped would, like, okay, I don't want Zack to lose the title, but for Goto to finally climb the mountain.
Oh, I would.
And to sit under a waterfall on it.
I kind of want to say it. I love Zack. But
dude, imagine Goto fucking rebuilding Chaos from the ground up, from fucking nothing, when they were Hantai 2, right? Yeah. And he rebuilds Chaos in his own dadly image.
Yeah. He can do it. Fucking, there's no reason he couldn't do it. Like, fucking.
I'm so hyped, dude.
Like, he's got the crowd support. He can still fucking go. Like, why the fuck not? Like, literally, why the fuck not?
I just don't want it to come at the expense of Zach's title. Zach has had, like, what, 6 defenses, though?
Yeah, but he also is the first foreigner to walk in and out of the dome twice. With, like, his reign is not ruined by losing to Goto, like, down the track. People who have not watched New Japan in ages would look in from the outside and go, he lost to Goto, what the fuck? Because they haven't watched Goto's entire G1 run and everything like that. And it would also prove to me that the company does listen. When I was like, why are these tone-dead motherfuckers not just pulling an audible and launching Goto into the stratosphere? It would prove that they are. They were listening and they were watching. All right, so let's... I know these other two shows will run through quite a bit faster. I didn't see the pre-show at all. And probably have no need to go back and watch them. I'm sorry. Did you watch the pre-show for Dynasty? I kind of turned it on and those matches didn't happen.
I watched the women's cup match.
International How was that?
Cup match. Mm-hmm. Well, my boo thing, my gummy bears, Tekla was there. So like,
that's, was she? She was there with Momo.
Yeah, she walked out Momo, which
did
was
she
awesome.
Win? Oh, Momo won as well.
Momo won, yeah. It was fucking awesome. Momo's the first person to pin Athena in like fucking 6 years or something.
That's sick.
It's ridiculous.
That's really sick. Yeah. And now she's awesome got like a title shot whenever she wants it, right? She can call it wherever she wants it in whichever company.
Exactly.
That's fun.
So that was awesome. Persephone was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I think she has... She's very young. You could tell she's very green, but like, I think she's cool. I dig it. Okay. I love Willow, like unabashed Willow geek.
Yeah.
So I was amped for that. And like, I mean, Athena is just good top to bottom. She always has been. She always will be. So,
Okay.
I loved it.
Yeah. Cool. And did you catch this pre-show tag title match? Sons of Texas and House of Torture?
Ooh, skipped it. Skip that one.
Fair enough. Go and watch that yourself if you want.
I was doing something for the pugs. I was maybe making them breakfast or something. I don't remember.
Nah, it's fine. Love Dustin Rhodes. All right, moving on. Lucha Gauntlet match. Everybody in the world versus El Desperado is basically what it was.
Dude, when he came down, he had the belt. He looked like a fucking badass. Oh, he's walking down the ramp looking like he's fucking El Desperado.
Yeah.
And everybody just goes, nah, man, fuck him.
They just all stop because they know they're like, if I'm the guy that pins him, surely I get a title shot, right? So the entire ring just stops, and then they just all everybody versus El Desperado, and then he just fucking loses.
What the fuck was Hechicero doing? Like, he's like, oh, look at that belt. I could take, like, nah, bro.
Yeah, like, you're never.
You're a big
it.
Dude.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You ain't getting the junior.
But I like it. But I like it nonetheless. So, because I mean, you know, fucking luchadors. So anyway,
was it Silverano came out dressed as Jesus? How fucking wild was that?
So funny because Amy's like, my alter ego better be on, because anybody who's listened to this show before knows that Amy's lucha alter ego is Drunkarano Senior. And so when Silverano Jr. came, she was like, is my alter ego going to be on? And he literally walked out at that exact second. She was like, yes.
That was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And he looked really sick as hell. Yeah, absolutely. They were all really good. Mm-hmm.
The new Mascara Dorada is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, this is my second time seeing him because I saw him at Royal Quest. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. And then here, dude's got it.
Yeah.
He's gonna go places, and tons of fun. This Lucha Libre gauntlet match was fucking it, dude. Yeah. I was into it.
It was dope. What did you think of? I again didn't understand it at the time, because we were watching the replays from the first night. It was like, and I was drinking. I kept forgetting to change like the commentary back. So we just watched most of Wrestle Kingdom with the Japanese commentary, you know, because you have to pick the matches individually or whatever on the app because it's a piece of shit. See our episode all about that. But I knew Shibata had like rescued Tanahashi, you know, at the end of that, and they'd shaken hands. I didn't realize what he'd said is he's like, if you're not too tired, let's have a match tomorrow. And Tanahashi was basically like, I am tired, but let's do it anyway. And so they had like a 5-minute exhibition match. It was good to see.
It certainly was good to see, but it could have been more.
Well, like, I mean, I think Shibata had to prove that he wouldn't fucking go into business for himself again. They're like, let's try this again. Exhibition match. Can you restrain yourself? If so, maybe we can do business in future. But if not, and it's with Tanahashi too, who's the president of the company. And so he's like, I'm telling you, I am in the ring opposite you. We have 5 minutes and that's it.
Like, I wonder if maybe they'll do it again. Just to try and maybe circumvent the Japanese like legal system or whatever, where that's like he won't get cleared. I wonder if maybe they'll do it in an AEW ring in America for or maybe at Forbidden Door in England.
Maybe. Or maybe that was the last time we'll ever see it.
No. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. You're not letting that take place.
Did you hear what Shibata said in his, I think it was his post-match comments, where he said that like, not only does he need to face Tanahashi in a full match, but the other of the new Musketeers needs to face Tanahashi in a match before he's gone. They need to bring back Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I like to think that it could happen. I really do. I want to see it happen. Maybe it's just wishful thinking. Maybe it's cope. But I would love to see Tanahashi and Shinsuke one last time.
Fuck, Tanahashi, I mean, Nakamura be rocking up in fucking Noah, so never say never. And fucking, you know, Tanahashi's the one doing the booking and decisions. So we'll see what happens. I think this could end up being potentially one of the greatest retirement tours of all time. You know what I mean?
So there's so much fun stuff that he could do.
Absolutely.
Like between here and 363 days or whatever from now. Yeah,
absolutely. All right. NJPW strong women's title, Rev Pro Undisputed crossover title for title situation. Mercedes Moné defeats Mina Shirakawa. I don't know if I like watching Mercedes wrestle anymore. I don't know. I thought Mina was really good. I don't know.
I understand why they put the belt on Mercedes Moné.
I think that's more what bugged me. I was kind of like, let's fucking launch somebody here. Like, she's been holding this shit for 1,000 years. I don't care.
I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand, Andy Kildane, you want to put your belt on a megastar. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. I see Mercedes Moné rocking up to the fucking cockpit or rocking up to fucking York Hall. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But, man, you know, I know, the listeners know. I don't like it when belts just disappear. And if the fucking women's title disappears from RevPro, I'm going to be very upset. There are so many good women in that fucking company that deserve something to fucking build their stories around. Fucking Alex Windsor, Nightshade, Kanji, Danny Luna. All these fucking women deserve a fucking belt that is not just gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's the RevPro mark in me.
Yeah, it is.
But
I completely agree, though.
Ooh, that was frustrating. Yeah, that was frustrating.
Positive vibes only. This is now sizzling. There's a sizzling contention that's about to happen here. And in a quick couple of matches, we're going to be talking about some other belts leaving and Curtis is about to pop the fuck off. So let's just keep moving forward. And I think we need to pick up speed anyway, because otherwise we've done what we said we weren't going to do and just like reviewed every match. Finlay and Brody King were solid. Love seeing Brody King in
Brody King New Japan. Is fucking 2025 Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah,
I love that dude so much coming out barking like fucking Brody Bruiser Brody. Yeah.
Pink camo was fucking sick too. Like
sick. Yeah. Oh my god, I love the dude. Yeah. I love the dude. I love fucking Brody King so much, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Shota Umino defeats Claudio Castagnoli. I was actually interested to learn that this only went for 14 minutes and 31 seconds. I thought it went for 44 minutes and 31 seconds because it felt like the longest fucking match of my life. Everything that I said about Shota and the Wrestle Kingdom, fuck, it can be ground to a halt with a motherfucker like Claudio. I know you like him, but Jesus Christ.
I love Claudio, man. Did you like this match? I thought it was fine.
Oh, do you love the swing in the dome? What a surprise that was to see him fucking swing a wrestler in the dome. Wow. Box ticked. That was great.
Oh, no, he used one of his signature maneuvers?
Yeah.
You would never do that.
It's a fucking shit signature maneuver, and I hate it. All right, moving on. I'm not even talking about him. All right. Konosuke Takeshita and Ishii. This is how it do.
Can we do the news now?
Yeah, let's do the news now, and I'll even let you be the one to say it. Yeah, I'm going to let you lift yourself up before we
never
talk about the next
open
one.
Weight champion / AEW mid-card title, whatever it is. Konosuke Takeshita, that's the one. Konosuke Takeshita has signed a contract with New Japan Pro Wrestling. He will be appearing with New Japan regularly, just like he does with DDT and AEW. But that's just the first. That's just the first step, baby.
We got him,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
we got him.
We got him. And so, yeah, there's apparently he's sort of kind of doing both, and then we'll see where it goes in 2026.
It's like that scene that I said that picture of. I said that picture of Janine from Ghostbusters. Yeah. We got one. Yeah, baby, yeah. We got it back.
You were pumped. It was stressful that they posted it with the black line mark that they normally only use for injuries, though.
Wasn't it, though?
Yeah.
I was so scared. I was like, the black line mark. No, Takeshita. Oh, okay. Oh, this is great. this is fantastic.
Takeshita has opted to never sign with New Japan. That's what you thought was going to.
How about Kidani like being like, yeah, maybe he signed or something. I don't know. It's like, oh, you don't know?
It's like, I believe he's signed. Don't know. I think it was lost in translation.
Kidani?
Yeah.
Please?
Tell me the truth. But yeah, either way, very happy with that news. Very happy. This was just a great, solid match. Fucking Takeshita's finisher where he does that kind of like spinning Falcon Arrow type thing. Fucking it's a game over, eh? And to do it to such a small egg cup of a man is a brutal, brutal turnaround.
I love a Falcon Arrow. Like, that goes all the way back to the Hayabusa fan in me. Like, seeing a fucking absolute stud muffin like Takeshita fucking like whip that out and like put that giant spin in the middle of it. Man, whoa. Sick. Every time, dude.
All right. Now let's just focus on those positive vibes as we quickly relate the next match, because I know you can immediately see you heating up. But we have the Young Bucks defeating LIJ and United Empire to become the new IWGP Tag Team Champions. Now, I don't want to say this is Hanare's fault for getting injured. can never trust a Kiwi.
They looked down the barrel of that fucking camera and they said, Curtis, fuck you.
Yeah, they did.
Because they looked down the barrel of that camera and they said, you're never going to see these belts again. And I was like, you motherfuckers.
They literally said those words as well. They
they said, Curtis, fuck you. And yeah. I was like, God damn it, dude.
They were funny. I've always had like a really soft spot for Nick Jackson's shit talk because he's such a douchebag. He's like, that's it. Let's get the fuck out of here and go home and make love to our wives. Like, he's just like such a douchebag. He's so funny. But he's always really entertaining. So anyway, I hate to see it go to another company. I'll reserve judgment until it's done. But they're clearly like tearing up the, you know, the IWGP tag division. They kind of don't really have any tag teams. I mean, even do we think Cobb's addition was on the fly? Because they were like, it is fucking Okan and X, and then suddenly Cobb's wrestled a match and then they're like, oh, by the way, he's going to be my partner. Like,
yeah,
what happened?
I was like, oh, maybe they didn't want to give away the end of the, and then I was like, fuck that. They've already given away the end of every other match for, you know, Wrestle Kingdom.
Why would they?
Like, why would they care about the TV title match? Yeah,
exactly. So do you think it was supposed to be Will fucking and the rug got pulled out from under him?
I mean, this show from top to bottom screams of backup, you know, backup booking.
Yeah.
Last minute, hardcore last minute booking. Mm-hmm. It did not suck. I thought the match was a ton of fun.
Yeah. It was super fun. I had no problem with it being Cobb. No problem. I want to make that very clear. And I love those two together.
Well, you are the Cobb slob.
Yeah, Cobb slobs right here represent.
Number two Cobb slob.
CS. Right here, so. Fucking represent. But what I'm saying is, why do that X thing if it wasn't going to be something else? So either way, though, fun match was what it was. Next up, IWGP Global Heavyweight title match. Now, when we had talked about this, we were like, there's no way Tsuji is going to win and then have this as the match. Like, surely it's Finlay defending and then this is just the House of Torture thing. This was just a straight-up title match.
I loved this match.
Really? That's.
I cannot tell you how much of an unabashed Jack Perry fan I am.
That is interesting because I seem to recall there being a time when you were not interested in him in any way.
No. Like, I've always thought that Jack Perry was a ton of fun, especially when he came to New Japan and fucking, like, became the new scapegoat-like character that he is. I love it. I think it's great. I liked him when he was Jungle Boy. I thought he was a ton of fun. I've got an action figure of Jungle Boy sitting over there.
Oh, well, there you go. That's good news. I also have enjoyed him as a scapegoat. I think it's
cool. I loved the fact that he found Evil's old scythe.
Just went, can I borrow that? Can you bring it to the arena for me?
He goes. Out back behind the house in the garage of torture, I've got this old, bunch of old shit. If you want to go find my scythe, you can carry that out to the match if you want to.
Yeah, scroll some fucking scapegoat like runes on it. It's looking good. I enjoyed it too, and I thought it was good. I don't think it was like Finlay match quality, but I do think it was like a solid global heavyweight title match.
Yep.
All right. Yep, absolutely.
I'm an unabashed fucking Jack Perry fan.
Okay. Now I want to talk about these next two in kind of the order they should have almost happened, but I understand why they didn't, and I think Zach did a great job talking like closing the show. I just think we're going to bang on about Omega and Kid forever, so I think we're just going to quickly run down Jack Sabre Jr. versus Ricochet, and then we'll get all our Kenny Omega Gabe Kid talk out, and then we're done.
the best tweet, or well, it was on Threads that I saw, was from a lady named Abortress, Abortress.
Okay.
Abortress. She's an AEW stan account. She's a big Kenny Omega fan. Mm-hmm. But she said LMAO Trevor Ricochet.
Yeah.
Trevor had to verbally tap because he was all knotted up like grade school shoelaces.
Brutal. I mean, he was. He got wrapped up. Absolutely. They did do the 6:30 miss. It didn't go straight into a hold like we thought it would, but it did happen.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing all the good fucking stuff that we knew was coming, the good shit.
It was a really good match. And to be honest, if I wasn't like emotionally exhausted from the match before it, like if Gabe and Kenny wasn't before that, you'd easily go, that was the best match on the show. You know what I mean? But the match that happened before it had such like gravitas to it and was such big fight feel that it was really hard to compete with that.
It's
the motherfuckers had Tanahashi crying after the match. How are you going to follow Tanahashi in tears?
They were never going to top it. Mm-hmm. They did the best they could with two very good wrestlers.
Absolutely.
I mean, one of the best wrestlers in the world and Ricochet.
I do like that New Japan always sticks their guns and the world title closes. It should close, and I think they did a great job. I'm not taking anything away from them in any way. I'm just ordering them in this way because we're about to bang on, like, fucking about Gabe and Kenny. I know we are. Like, so
let's,
and there's a lot of talking points. And also, that's due to the nature of the match. Because let's face it, in the words of Walker Stewart, the match that sold every single ticket to Dynasty. He said that shit on commentary. He's like, that put every fan in every seat in this building was this match. And he's kind of like, where's the lie? Because there was a huge build around this. And to be fair to Ricochet and Zach, they didn't get that. It was an exhibition match that was maybe going to be a title match, was the most it got.
Yep.
So, and with one brief sort of run-in, like a attack that sort of happened as Shooter also declared his intentions for the title. So that was all a bit messy, whereas this was very intentional with a lot of build.
Mm-hmm. Take my phone, mm-hmm. go to Google Maps, mm-hmm. and point me to the lie. It's not there.
It's not there. It cannot be.
It's not there.
So, what did you think of the match?
It's all right. No, it was absolutely fucking fantastic from top to bottom. Kenny came out looking like fucking like Kenny always tries to have these like over the top, like wild entrances. Like, remember the one year he came out cosplaying as fucking something that looked like it was out of Stargate?
Yeah, he did that.
When he faced off against Jericho. Yeah. Then he came out as the Terminator one year. That was fucking
with
awesome.
With Okada, and he did fucking Sephiroth last year, which is like dope.
Also fucking killer.
Yeah.
Then this year he comes out, no gimmick, just a brand new fucking theme song comes out. And he is the final boss of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And it was, I that's Kenny fucking Omega, guys.
Yeah. And it was funny because like at the, you know, the press conferences and things like that, Amy's like, I don't know. I think Kenny kind of looks terrible. I'm like, he was very sick for like a year. And she's like, I don't know. And then he walked out and she's like, he looks amazing. Like, that is.
He just, the switch flipped and it was Kenny Omega was there.
Yeah. And you were like, how's he fucking doing it? How is he doing it? Like, it was, and then Gabe, I was like, is Gabe going to give us like some kind of like, level up on the kind of robe that he was doing, like, and things like that?
Nope.
No, he went back to young
Soul
boy.
Sport tracksuit.
He went to tracksuit, but that wasn't the point. The point was I'm New Japan and I'm going to fucking show you what it's about. Then he walks down to that fucking ring and he fucking stares Tanahashi in the eye and he's like, I'm fucking mortals, I'm doing this. But the moment he fucking takes off that tracksuit and the lion mark is revealed on his trunks,
it
was like Okada shorts again, is what it was. It was that level. It was Gabe shorts because it fucking, that you could hear the crowd be like, oh, like this is a big deal. And I had to explain that because, Dynasty, we obviously were all hanging out and watched it. and then the friends went home. You know, the day happens. It happens the next day and people can watch it live. My friends asked to log in so they could watch it. I mean, they used their own legal subscription and checked it out themselves. And when they did, they didn't know gay kids' history. And they're like, why was it fucking this and why was Tanahashi crying and stuff? And I was explaining it to them. And that huge deal of like the Lion Mark and the War Dogs logo and like I am the defender of New Japan now is like pretty huge. And the crowd felt
it. It's that could come across really fucking really patronizing, you know? Mm-hmm. Like if he like so many heels could be like, I am, you know, Mr. New Japan. Ooh. Like, you know how when Robbie's heel in PWA, he's got the PWA title and he's like, I have the soul. I am the soul of PWA.
Yeah.
Like it could come across really patronizing like that. And Gabe walked a really fine line there, man. Mm-hmm. He came out, he didn't have to say, I will defend New Japan. I am Mr. New Japan. He fucking just showed it.
He just did it. Yeah. He just fucking did it. And you even said like, even the War Dogs were almost turning face in that because they're like in the fucking his corner, like
dude. Said, like, when Clarku was fucking sitting outside, and he's just every time Gabe's fucking smacking the shit out of fucking Kenny, and Clarku's going shit me on motherfucker. I was like, I will run through a wall for you.
Yeah, it was dope. And when fucking he smashes the fuck out of fucking Kenny on the outside with the table, and then fucking Gabe walks that way, and then drillers in Kenny's face. Like, that's right, motherfucker. Like, they're just like really on him the whole time. But then at the same time, they're running like that. But then when Kenny fucking does his big tope and he's like hurt his hip and he's calling for ice, and the young lion takes too long and he's fucking angry and he shoves the young lion. And you see Gabe, who's on the ground, he's kind of discombobulated, but he like grabs the young lion's kind of like jacket and sort of pulls him towards him, like out of the way and behind him to protect him.
Yeah.
Because he's like, these are my guys. This is my fucking tribe. This is, I believe I'm New Japan. And so those tiny, they didn't oversell it, but that this is a guy who fucking somebody showed it on Twitter. They're like, fucking 2 months ago, this guy was chasing children through the crowd, terrified of him. And now he's like the savior of the company, you know?
This was the Austin Hart moment, yeah, man. This was the blood from a stone.
And like anybody's like, oh, well, it wasn't a really fucking straight up thing. If you go back and you watch WrestleMania 13, and I have many times, it's not like, it's instant. You know, it's not like Bret Hart is suddenly booed out of every single building. It's not like Austin's now a white meat babyface. Just a switch flips and everybody feels a little bit differently. And that's the road we're literally on. Like, and that's the way it's heading, and it can't be undone now. So it's very, very interesting. And it just goes to show they knew what they fucking had in him. And they're now absolutely doing it. And like, it goes back so far, because remember when there was a press conference a while ago when Gabe was really starting to get into this shit, and I remember fucking he fronts up to Tanahashi, and I'm paraphrasing, and he's like, fucking Tsuji and these musketeers and all this bullshit, like I'm overlooked and they fucking get everything and bloody blah, and you know, nobody gives me shit, and he's like, I'm going to take it, I'm going to fucking show you and bloody blah, and walks off. And then Tanahashi looks after him and he sort of smiles and goes, that's the thing none of them get. I wasn't given anything. I had to take it. And that began planting the seeds of like Tanahashi approving of the way he's going about things, that he sees himself in Gabe and kind of wants to see him do that full journey. And then at the end of the match, when Gabe's carried out, bloodied and beaten by his mates, and he fucking looks at Tanahashi and he's got like tears in his eyes and looks sad, and he almost looks like he's let Tanahashi down. You know,
he looks like he's saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I fucking tried. But he also
looks like he's saying, like, I did my best.
Yeah, but he literally looks like, I fucking let you down. I really tried and I was in your face about it. But it kind of feels like he desperately wants Tanahashi's approval, right? And so, like, he's looking at, and then Tanahashi starts to cry. And then we all started to cry. It was like
grown men fucking weeping. Mm. The tears we were expecting from Hiromu and Naito, the tears we were expecting from Despy and Doki came in the match that no one expected it to come in.
Yeah. It was wow. It was really powerful. And then, you know, everybody can still go watch this match. I'm not going to break it down spot for spot or anything like that. I just think it was like a really important match. And I feel like I've seen many, many amazing Kenny Omega matches, and maybe nobody will ever have a resume like he has had by the time it's said and done. But like, that was one of his most powerful in a lot of ways, because, you know, you've got all the spots and craziness in the world, like where Ospreay and him was like a physical demonstration of two people that are the best at this in the world doing it. And him and Okada kind of over and over demonstrated the peak of sports, you know, the king of sports and the New Japan style and what it is to do, you know, closing stretches and stuff like that. This really showed that emotion. And Kenny has proven that he can do that again. I mean, when you look at the Golden Lover stuff and things he did, this was just wicked, dude. It was just so fucking good. Like, yeah, I loved it.
I knew that it was going to be like a one match show. And at that point I was like, no, I'm wrong. This is not a one match show, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And then that one match happened and I was like, yes, it was. Nothing was touching this. Yes, it fucking was.
Yeah.
We were all right. We were all right to be absolutely fucking over the moon mm-hmm. with this match. And
yeah,
man, it was good.
It was so good. So yeah, if you watch anything, go check it out. It's so good.
So 5 days into January and we've already got our match of the year contender. Like,
yeah, it's going to be hard to top.
It's going to be real hard to top, man.
It's going to be hard to top. And then New Year's Dash, we won't go through that whole thing one by one, but I will say it was just a really fun quality New Japan house show.
Two big spots that two big storylines coming out of New Year's Dash. Mm-hmm. One is the resurgence of Chaos as a faction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if Goto can finally touch the top of the mountain, mm-hmm. and lead Chaos as Nakamura did, as Okada did, mm-hmm. That's great. Also, the second story that I'm really interested in is, United Empire kind of going heel now. I really like that idea. Yeah. I really like the idea of the Empire kind of, like,
fucking stomp the living fuck out of Shota, which I didn't hate that.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. Yes, I think the babyface side was going a little bit stale
for them.
Mm-hmm. And for them to go to a little bit of a darker area. Mm-hmm. Could be really fun.
Especially as well when you kind of, like, War Dogs are basically crossing over into face anyway. I mean, at least Gabe is, you know, that can't be helped. And House of Torture are kind of a bit more slapstick and stuff like that. There's room there for people to be a bit more violent and heely.
Yep. I dig it. So
absolutely.
Those are the two big things that I'll be keeping my eye on.
Yeah.
Did you notice anything else that you, that you really are?
I mean, every match was kind of setting up something. I kind of want to see Tai Chi, what's next for Tai Chi as well. Like, keeps getting the best of by Sonata and his fucking goons. And I kind of want to see him become what's next for him. And I feel like he's earmarked for that. So, yeah.
Sonata's still a fucking dork, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I know.
What the fuck is with that belly shirt?
Dude, I think TJP was on commentary and said, why is he
like, called him dressed like a
Winnie the Pooh? He said, every time I see him, this shirt gets smaller. Extra schmedium. Really fun show. I think the junior tag scene with Kushida kind of declaring for it and Taiji declaring for it is interesting. I wonder what that means, though, for our boy, what's his name? Kushida's partner, because he's like, oh, what, we lose the titles and now you're immediately going for a singles title?
Kevin Knight's contract is up.
Really? I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate to hear it.
I hate that. I want them to sign Kevin Knight long term. Kevin Knight could be a future IWGP World Heavyweight Champion.
I really hope they do that. I really hope they do that. It's also worth noting that Alex Zane.
But evidently, there are a lot of companies that have interest in Kevin Knight because he's good looking. He's athletic as fuck. Mm. You know, he's got a ton of personality.
Mm. Well,
and I hope that he has the foresight to see that, yes, the road may be slower on New Japan, but it's ultimately more fulfilling.
Yeah. And I mean, there's definite opportunities there to stand out in that slightly smaller pond. So we will have to see. I hope he does, and I hope there's big things in his future. Now, quickly before we sign off, we do need to get out of here. Do you want to, and I kind of feel like you want to, just like let it out, do you want to comment on the Chris Charlton situation?
Abso-fucking-lutely, I do.
I knew
Abso-fucking-lutely, I do.
Yeah, I knew you wanted to rage.
I am lit up about this fucking... Everybody said, oh, you shouldn't have called Tony Khan a money mark. Fuck off.
I mean, I personally have no problem with it. When I said to you, I was like, that's not wise. I'm only saying that not because I have a problem with him saying that. I'm like, it's Tony's fucking paying for the show and you're going to catch heat about it. You know what I mean? But I love that he said it anyway. You know what
I mean? Dude. Nothing is sacred in fucking pro wrestling.
Especially like right? when he's literally telling Gabe Kidd's story at the time.
Yeah.
And Gabe Kidd says all that shit constantly.
They probably told him ahead of time, like, hey, we want to do like an AEW versus New Japan thing. Like mm-hmm. that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. Like that's where the seeds are being planted with like the Young Bucks taking the title away and stuff like that. Like, they're planting seeds. Mm-hmm. He maybe went a little hard. Okay, so what?
Do you want to know? Like, this is what he said. So for everybody who wants to know exactly what it was, if you didn't pick up on it, Charlton referred to Khan as a money mark during Kenny Omega and Gabe Kidd's co-main event match, in which Gabe Kidd always says all that shit, in an apparent attempt to add some fuel to an AEW versus NJPW angle. I mean, which is the angle. Among other comments, he also questioned what Okada, Jay White, and Will Ospreay have done since signing with AEW and unfavorably compared the Continental Classic to the G1 tournament. He actually said, he goes, I'm sorry, but the Continental Classic doesn't even compare to the G1, is what he said. And I loved it for
it. It doesn't.
It doesn't. And there's no, where's the lie? Google it.
Fine. Take my phone. Go to Google Maps.
Yeah.
And fucking look for the lie. Type in the lie and see if it brings anything fucking up.
Yeah. Well, if they are trying to do a New Japan versus AEW angle, this is how you start getting the fan base riled up about one company or another. You know,
I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Shin Nihon motherfucker, I'll fucking be there. Like this whole thing. Oh my God, there's nothing sacred in fucking pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. You can use anything. If it makes it in front of the cameras, it's story. It's work.
I mean,
Gabe's
fucking thing, like promos literally mentions Tony by name. He's like, what? I'm going to go in his fucking office. Oh, I'm not doing like, he's just always taking the piss out of them. So, yeah.
It's bullshit. I hope this is a fucking work. But then in the end, even mm-hmm. if this is a fucking work, mm-hmm. 2 months we're going to be without English comms. Like basically all the way through fucking Fantastica Mania.
Yeah, because they don't have Walker there the whole time. Also, Charlton's the only guy that can translate it.
I'm so fucking annoyed, man.
Yeah.
I love that the wrestlers like on New Year's Dash, like they all knew something was up. They're like, hey, Walker, why are you out here alone?
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
I didn't even pick up on it. I just thought he had something else on. I hadn't really figured out that there was some drama.
I'm so fucking annoyed, man. It's like, Tony Khan, if this is not a work, mm-hmm. bro, do you have the thinnest skin alive? You like, oh, I'm sorry, the dorky guy who knows more about wrestling than you've ever known in your entire fucking life. He made a mean joke about you. Sorry about it. Go cry yourself to sleep on your giant pillow stuffed with money.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you want to fucking have that guy punished and then go fucking Scrooge McDuck into a giant pile of gold coins? Fuck you, man.
Yeah, I'd be so interested to know that if it was real, if the complaint did come from AEW camp or whether it was just New Japan being like, you can't be talking about our partners or whatever. But either way, I just think if it is real and this man is suspended for comments made on commentary, I don't think there was anything there that warranted suspension, especially when commentating an angle that is about that. You know what I mean? Like that literally makes no sense.
And he's not, he didn't say anything. He said a toned down version of shit that Gabe Kidd was shouting from the fucking rooftops last year.
Gabe Kidd went on the news and he's with that lady and she's like, well, why would we, you know, thing? And he was like, fucking AW's for nerds that can't talk to girls and fucking, you know, he's saying all this shit all the time.
What about last, what was it? Like 6 months ago, it was right, like before the G1, fucking Gabe like looked at Tanahashi and was like, hey, bend over for Tony Khan's dick some more.
Literally, like those exact words, basically.
Like, what the fuck, man? And he so then Charlton says, like, what have Okada and fucking, what has Okada done in AEW? The same shit that Tsuji just said, like, fucking Okada's a meme now.
Yeah, so he's like, Okada just is the guy that throws Tsuji the bird on TV. Months? Exactly. It's like, how is it different? And also, Rocky was there in the booth representing AEW and was also saying their side as well. So it was like a back and forth thing, you know what I mean? And then by the end of the broadcast, the man apologized on air. It's like, I got a bit carried away. I probably shouldn't have done it. And Rocky was even like, hey, we all get hot in the moment. We're all passionate about our teams. You know what I mean? He sold it like that. So
don't
I
let
think
me on that fucking commentary.
I think that
don't
should
let me
be the end of it. You know, like I do commentary, and whenever I'm talking about heels and faces, I go in on the heels like I'm kind of supposed to. Or if I'm playing the other role, go kind of the other way. So dudes will walk out of my thing, and I'll be like, "Look at this fucking prick!" Like, you know, like
it's fucking wrestling. It's a carny.
You're a character.
The
commentators are characters as well. You know what I mean? Like they're
it's a carny fucking business. Yeah. The second Tony Khan's ass showed up on AEW television,
he's a character.
Okay. He's a fucking character on a TV show.
And even then,
it's in a carny fucking business. It's the carny fucking business of pro wrestling. You can't have a fucking thin skin. Yeah. You fucking baby. You fucking absolute titty baby. If you need your fucking diaper changed, let me know and I'll pop a titty out to fucking breastfeed you, you fucking baby.
I knew you'd get worked up. We don't know the full story. I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I'm being carny. I'm telling Gabe Kidd's story and I'm going to not watch AEW for the next 2 months.
Yeah, exactly. Now we'll find out that it's a work and then you'll be feeling silly.
God, I hope it's a work. Yeah, God, I hope it's a work.
That would be
I dope. Hope that I got worked to fucking shit. Yeah. I really do.
I mean, we all want to be worked.
Chris Charlton did nothing wrong.
Nah, he did not. So, yeah, hopefully it all plays out. And hopefully it is just 2 months and that's it and it's back.
Here's another thing. I'm just going to be real fucking fast about this. Mm-hmm. Someone, it was some dude on Threads was like, I was bitching and moaning about the fucking young Bucks taking the fucking tag titles. Mm-hmm. And I was at first kind of upset that I wasn't upset that Takeshita had the never belt. But I was like, okay, we have an AEW/New Japan event in Japan, mm-hmm. and somehow AEW walks out with more belts than they walked in with. You know that didn't sit well with me.
No,
right?
That's going to make you mad. So
there was a guy, and I was being very nice about it. And I was like, I don't know, man. And this guy, he says, well, New Japan has a bunch of American dates coming up, and they want to kind of capitalize on the AEW name. And I was like, then why fucking bother? Why? Like, if you can't pull a crowd based on the Japanese wrestlers that you offer, you are the only one that can, well, maybe not anymore. Mm. I was going to say, you're the only one that can offer that. Cause now fucking AEW can offer it too. Mm. But if you can't draw a big crowd with the thing that only you can offer, and you've got to fucking piggyback, you know, off of the table that Tony Khan has set, which is really the table that Gato has set fucking for the last 10 years that Tony Khan's eaten off of. But I'm getting lost in that. I'm getting
lost.
That's
okay. I think what you're trying to say
is
basically, if you can't stand on your own,
if you can't pull the people as New Japan, you got to pull them as fucking AEW Junior. Mm. What's the fucking point?
I don't think you can. I think if anything, there that'd almost be better to go back to the old model that they used to have with Ring of Honor, where they just would do War of the Worlds once a year or whatever it was, and you know, occasional talent exchange. At the moment, I feel like, if anything, it's too much, like it's overexposed for both companies. And as a result, it doesn't feel special when anybody from either show turns up on either show. It doesn't feel like a crossover of universes.
It feels more annoying.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, well, now he's not there. But anyway, I think if they could streamline that down, and Kidani even said it, he's like, we probably shouldn't have had the shows as close together in that.
Absolutely not.
No, because it devalued Wrestle Kingdom a bit, and I think it probably hurt it. Like my mate Mark, I was like, you need to go to fucking Wrestle Kingdom. He's also an AEW fan, and he could only buy one ticket. He's living over there in Japan, so he bought one to Dynasty. You know what I mean? And he got to see that Omega match, and that was really cool. But he's like, yeah, I've got tickets to Dynasty. I'm like, you fucked up. You should have got Wrestle Kingdom. You know what I mean? It distills your audience. So maybe, you know, the numbers of Wrestle Kingdom were like, I feel like they were kind of like, oh, both shows were a little bit too less. I feel like almost if you just had one night, you would have got all those same people, but just on one day. It would have been your 50,000 or whatever, instead of sort of spread out, like, you know. But anyway, I think regardless of that bullshit, I think we have a lot to look forward to New Japan this year. And yep. I think
very excited.
And we were very excited to see Takeshita had signed a contract with New Japan. That was everything we wanted to see, and we're absolutely stoked about it. So I think tell the people where to find us, and we'll come back for a new beginning and talk about everything else that's coming down the line.
Well, you can find us on all the various internets at Ichiban Suite. Mm-hmm. That's on Instagram. And I believe our Instagram still posts to Twitter sometimes. Yeah.
I
You can find Rafe on the various internets at Faces Feels Cast. That's also the name of his other show, where he interviews various independent wrestlers and gets to know a different side of them, a side that you may not see on your TV screen, on your computer screen. And you can become a different sort of fan of these guys. It's a really good show. I've become a fan of a lot of wrestlers just from hearing them chat bullshit with Rafe. Makes me get to know them on a different level, and I really dig it.
Cute. Thank you. I try and make that show a bit more of a conversational type thing. It's not a Q&A or any bullshit like that. It's just me broing out with a new friend every time.
Yeah, it's very cool. Like you know, there's plenty of dudes who you've talked to that I've become fans of. I would consider myself a fan of Remington Roar.
Oh, there you go. To catch up with Rem, actually. I haven't talked to him in a while.
So, yeah. Tell him he's got a fan in me.
I will.
You can also find me on all the various internets at LDestructo83. I'm LDestructo83 everywhere. If you want to see me on Blue Sky or Threads, that's where I do. Threads is where I do most of my tweeting about wrestling right now. There's a pretty good wrestling community on Threads. So get on there.
Oh, that's everything you need to know. Well, that's everything from us. Make sure you check that out. Check out everything we've got at the Canet Network over at the Patreon. And you know what it be. It's rate and subscribe. It's listen or die. It's Spirit of Fight, Style of Strong, Sweet Cast.
Ichiban.
That's right, buddy.
Charlton did nothing wrong.
Free Chris Charlton. This has been a Countout Podcast. Hey, have you guys heard of the new show on the Countout Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling Podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Houston. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Itchy Bon Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Itchy Bon.